Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show.
My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'd like to welcome you again to the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's weekly call-in show. Each week, we travel through the power of poetry to places that only our imaginations can build. We visit the good, bad, and indifferent of life, and through our poetic journey, we often find comfort, solace, peace, truth, and celebration in our words. And as we state every week, long live words. Tonight, we're very fortunate to have with us a fantastic poet. Her name is Valerie Beers, and she hails from the state of Maine. And she's here tonight to share works from her book, Details. And I want to bring Valerie on. Are you there, Valerie?
Hi, Michael. I'm fine.
Hello, hello. How are you tonight? How's Maine?
Hello. Maine is great. It was about 50 degrees today. Nice
really?
And warm. Yes. Everything's melting.
There's a store like... Does it snow a lot there?
Yes, it does.
It does? Okay, I know
it
that sounds
snow a lot.
Like a foolish question. It does snow a lot. Okay. I know up the eastern seaboard and in the northeast. I know about Boston and other places, but I didn't know whether it snowed a lot in Maine. So people out in our listening audience, that was me trying to be trendy by asking questions and meteorological. But I want to thank everyone for listening, all of our listeners around the world, those people who are listening from Lahore, Pakistan, and those soldiers in Afghanistan. So, again, thank you so much for calling in and being with us. So tonight, Valerie, what I'd like to do is to share your biographical sketch, if that's okay.
That would be fine, Michael.
All right, then. Thank you very much. Valerie has been published in a number of print and online literary magazines, including Zest Literary Magazine, Far Away Literary Magazine, The Writer's Drawer, Kumquat Poetry, Visceral Uterus, The Song Is, you know that one, Blotterature, The Poetry Superhighway, Poetry Pasta, Pyro Connection, and even a nudie zine. I don't want to ask you about that one, but I will in a moment. She has honored to be included in two anthologies from Literature Today. She has links to her poems on her own poetry site, Words of the Vow 2000, at wordpress.com. And I'll repeat that again as we continue this journey. You can also connect with her on Facebook, Valerie Beers. That's Valerie, V-A-L-E-R-I, Beers, and Twitter, at the Vow 2000. Valerie is also the editor, again, of Poetry Pasta, which helps to promote and show off new poets and their words online. And that's poetrypasta.wordpress.com. She is also the editor of the writers group, where she's a member, in her local library. So we're here with Valerie Beers. I want to ask you about some of these journals. You've published in a number of different places. Kind of talk with us about your literary background.
My literary background, let's see, I've been writing forever, and I thought, well, I'll submit a poem or two to these different places, and lo and behold, they liked them and they took them, so I just kept on going, and they liked, and more and more liked them, and I actually wanted to tell you about this, Michael. The first person that took a chance on me was a nudie zine. Suru Photos nudie zine. And a nudie zine, are you interested in hearing what that is?
No, I don't, actually.
He makes them himself, and a nudie zine, there's a national following, international following, I should say.
Okay.
And a nudie zine is, it's handmade, but it sort of looks like Playboy with articles written, and it's all handmade. So lots of Sharpies and you know, cutting things out in markers, and it's really good. He took the first chance on me.
What was the first piece that you published?
That was called Circus Love, which is in my book, Details. If you want to hear that one, you can.
Okay, I'd like that very much because I want to focus on your work in terms of your book Details. I do not want to forget that piece. That's extremely important. But in terms of the other literary magazines, I mean, what was it like to see your name in print or your work in print the very first time?
Oh, exciting. Super exciting. I love it. I think I got a little addicted to that rush that I wanted to see my name in print. So I just kept sending, and it's like they did, and these literary magazines kept taking my poems. I was like, yay!
Now, was there a particular style of poetry that you submitted to these journals, these magazines?
I didn't. What I submitted specifically was, I'm a big fan, and I will say this out loud because I'm an editor. Please read submission guidelines carefully.
All right.
And go from there. If they're looking for, I don't know, poems about cats, don't send them a poem about a hamster. They're looking for a poem about a cat. And make
Did
sure you know
everyone?
What they're looking for, word count and things like that.
All right, everybody. Did you hear that? Make sure you read over the submission guidelines very, very carefully.
Yes.
So that you know who you're publishing in and what you're publishing. I can understand that. Now, I also noted in my notes, based on your work, that you started publishing as a young child, back in middle school, I believe.
Yes, I remember writing a story, a short story, way, way back. I don't even know what grade I was in, but I remember it was a short story. I was I got shrunk down to a few inches, and I had to climb up on a elementary school desk and put a note in my friend's desk. And when you're only about a few inches tall, that was the hard thing for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing I'd ever written. And, you know, I don't know where it is, and I think it was bad.
So the bug hit you at that point, and ever since, you've been on a journey to talk about and write about your thoughts.
Yes, yes. What I've always said is, writing poems, for me, is about remembering things. So, you know, people remember things from two or three different points of view. So you might write two or three different poems from those different points of view. So one poem's going to be about this. You're writing about the same thing, but it's going to be completely different because you're thinking about this.
Mm. Talk some more about that. I mean, I could say that is a very existential or exoteric kind of statement, so kind of break that down.
Well, but take an experience you've had, any experience at all, and think about it. Think about what were you listening to, because I'm a big fan of listening to music to be inspired for writing. Like they say, you know, scent will bring up the strongest memories. Well, so will music, so will a song. So I like to do that. I might remember this experience one way, and then I might remember it a different way. And, you know, are these poems connected? Yes, they are. Well, they don't seem connected. Well, they are. They're about the same thing that I did, but they're different points of view. One might be positive, one might be negative, or not negative. Anyway.
Well, I mean, and if it is negative, that's fine, too. I mean, because our views on the world and the way we perceive the world changes daily, sometimes by the minute. So it could be positive in one moment and then negative in another, and that's okay. It's part of the person's lived experience, I believe.
Yes, that
That's right.
That is okay. Yes, it is. In fact, I recently, I was talking to a poet from India who submitted some very angry poems to me, to Poetry Pasta, and I didn't want to put them up because I was kind of afraid of you know, the strong emotion, the anger, but it's like, you know, this is a true emotion. Who am I to stifle this? There is a place, and I told them there is a place in poetry for strong feelings. Well, why can't it be here?
Wow. I like that. So you open-minded in terms of your publishing.
Yes. Why can't it start with me? You know, and why can't there be, there is strong emotion. Don't be afraid of it. It could be fear.
Don't be
afraid. It can be anger, anything.
It's true. But what we're going to do is take a short break. Yes, we do. We're going to take a short break and come right back, and we'll begin with Valerie sharing some of her work from her book Details, which I will talk about in a moment. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'd like to welcome you back to The Power of Poetics. I'm here with our very special guest, Valerie Beers, and she will share with us from her book, Details. Talk a little bit about Details, Valerie, because I want to share some of the reviews that I've read about your book.
Details, this has been years in the making, and I really have to thank Thomas Hill Publishing for taking a chance on my words. I mean, there are poems in this book that are probably 20 years old, and there are poems in this book that are brand new. But this has been a long time in the making.
All right, all right. Was the process of publishing very difficult?
I didn't think so, because my publisher, Thomas Hill Publishing, did most of the work. I would say 90% of the work. They would send me, you know, things to look at and make sure everything was spelled right. But other than that, they did everything. But,
well, some of the reviews. Okay, please, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, even self-publishing is really important. Getting
and
your
why
words
is that?
Out there.
You're getting your
get words out there. You know, let people read them. Don't just hide them.
Right, very much so. I agree. Details is available on Amazon.com, and some of the comments that I've had an opportunity to read, one person stated, every now and then I come across a chapbook that just takes my breath away, and this chapbook does it. The poems were not only detailed, but written in a style that doesn't even begin to compare to other poetesses. Valerie, you've outdone yourself. And if you can get this book in print, I will definitely buy it and place it on your bookshelf next to Writhing and Alive, Blacklisted Thoughts, and other various works. So again, 5 stars. Another person stated that Valerie has a unique style that grabs your attention quickly and leaves you wanting more. Getting a message to the reader as quickly as she does is a rare talent. I finished this chapbook quickly, devouring it in one sitting. I then went back and read it again more slowly. Each pass made me relate to the poetry in a different way. Loved it. I look forward to reading more of Valerie's work in the future. Those are some fantastic reviews.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you for reading those.
Well, yes, well, before we begin this journey, tell us about the title.
Details. Details. You know, I think I thought of that title in a sociology class I took in 1996 or 1997. And it explains, we were talking a little bit about this. I had to think about this a little more. This explains my style of poetry. You know, it's very short, and details, it's just, my poems are about just scratching the surface. I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to show you a little bit about this experience, about this, what happened to me. I'm just going to tell you a little bit. I'm not going to overwhelm you with this and this and this.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, we've got a couple of callers. I'm going to build them in, cue them in, and then we'll begin with your work. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Area code 517, are you there?
Yes.
Hello, good evening. How are you?
I'm fine. This is Anastasia.
Hello, Anastasia. Hello. 1 second here. Area code 207, are you there? Area code 207, and the first number is a 9. Are you there? Well, they're there.
I'm not sure who goes in. Who is it?
They're listening. So, Valerie, please begin.
Right.
You're part of it.
Yes. I am the poet tonight.
Valerie?
Yes, I am here, Michael.
Yes, did you... Did you read? I know you're very short and detailed.
I did not read. I did not read. What would you like to hear? What would you like to
this
hear, Michael? I'll be anything you want. I'm sorry.
This is your cue, and what I'd like you to do, after each piece, make the following statement, I'm done, so that we'll know and we can start discussing your piece. All right?
All right.
You're on.
This one I really want to read, it's called, this poem is called Sweetness. And it's about making maple syrup. And I was reminded about this just today because where I live, they make maple syrup. And I saw the things on the trees and things like that. So this is called Sweetness. They make the sweetness. Blue tubes snaked around trees. Silver buckets floating on brown bark. Drip, drip, drip. Tree tap. Spigot for sap. Sugar shack, steam, burn knees, hotness, sweetness, uniqueness, company, camaraderie, conversation. The end.
One more time, for the good of the order, please. Sugar shack.
Sweetness by me. This is about making maple syrup. Okay. They make the sweetness. Blue tubes, silver buckets floating on brown bark. Drip, drip, drip. Tree tap, spigot for sap. Sugar shack, steam, burned knees. Hotness, sweetness, uniqueness. Company, camaraderie, conversation.
I like that, Tom, that statement about the sugar shack. Any comments from the people listening? Back to you, Valerie.
And there's a sugar shack right down the street from where down the road from where I live, on Cole Street. Right down the road from where I live, it's called the Sugar Shack.
So when you think about maple trees and sugar, I mean, what's it like there in Maine? I mean, we had an opportunity to travel through Maine in terms of traveling to Montreal, but what's it like to live there?
To live in Maine?
Yes.
I live in a very rural part of Maine. But to live in Maine, lots of snow, short summers, long winters. Spring is beautiful. I mean, there are only a few. I mean, there's seasons in Maine. There's black fly season. There's mud season. And I think there's like 2 weeks of summer. So to live in Maine, you're going to be, you know, to survive a Maine winter, be very hardy and know what to do.
Is that the same thing as being able to survive as a writer? knowing what to do?
Yes, that too. That as well, yes. Know what you're doing, really.
Know what you're doing. Well, continue sharing your work. Thank you.
All right. The next one I want to read is called Circus Love. This is the first one that the nudie zine, Suru Photos nudie zine, took a chance on and published. And I thought it was, that was the very first time I saw my name in print, and I was just ecstatic. So let me find that in my book. Hold on, please. It's only a small book, but yet it's so hard to find stuff. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Okay, Circus Love. And this was written from a poetry prompt in my college poetry class, so I can't say I've ever been to the circus with somebody. Okay, this is called Circus Love. I taste sticky, sweet, cotton candy kisses. I smell hay, popcorn, smoke, animals. I see lions lined up. I hear trainers shouting, whip cracking. I sneak stares at you and feel the same excitement and uncertainty when I see the acrobats fly so high. My heart has no net.
Wow. There is a sparseness to your writing. I mean, you don't mince words.
No.
Yeah, and I think they very detailed. It makes you vivid. If makes you feel like you could taste it, you can see it and feel it. That's what comes across to me.
Yes.
No.
That's exactly what I want the readers to, or listeners to hear and see. You taste this. Here's what I'm taking you along to this ride. You're tasting this, you're smelling this, you're seeing this. You know, you're coming with me. It's like you're sitting right next to me.
You know,
yeah.
It's funny. I taught a class on five senses poetry where we focused on, again, the five senses in terms of using poetry as a mechanism for healing. That so often we can live in this world and forget about some of our senses, or we can become or feel as if that we're numb to some of our senses. And poetry allows you to bring those senses back into being, back into place. So, again, wow, I like that. I like that a lot. All right, please
Thank
share
you.
Another piece.
All right. Also, if all that you've said isn't enough, I'm also a volunteer firefighter. So I've got a poem about being a firefighter. It's called Dress Up. Let me see if I can find it in my book here. Now, what do you think of that? Like, as
I
if
mean,
she doesn't
I,
do enough.
I was going to state that I'm shocked, but for some reason I'm not going to do that.
I'm shocked
I'm
you do all this
that.
Stuff.
You do? Wow. Firefighter.
Okay, this is called Dress Up, and this is about being a volunteer firefighter, or it could be any about being a firefighter anywhere. Okay, here we go. Big red truck. Heart is stuck in my throat. Playing dress up with fear. What am I doing here? It's 2 a.m. I'm cold. I'm scared. I can't believe I even dared. I pray. Let me know what to do. Let me do what I can. Don't let me mess up. I wish I was a man. The end.
Would you share that one again, please?
I would.
Yes.
This is called Dress Up. Big red truck. Heart is stuck in my throat. Playing dress up with fear. What am I doing here? It's 2 a.m. I'm cold. I'm scared. I can't believe I even dared. I pray. Let me know what to do. Let me do what I can. Don't let me mess up. I wish I was a man.
That was a nice twist at the end where you said wish
really
I was a man.
Thank you.
That struck me as well, considering the fact that we're celebrating during the month of March National Women's History Month, and the DC Poetry Project's focus has been on celebrating women, courage, vision, and hope through art.
Absolutely.
So that was a very powerful piece of poetry to say that, wow.
Never. The reason for the last line is because I am the only woman firefighter, so you're always very aware that you're the only one. So that's the only reason I say that.
Wow. So our theme really fits who you are. That we're celebrating women who exhibit courage, vision, and hope through art.
Yes, and I discovered something just tonight, Michael, if I may tell you.
Oh, please. Thank you.
I'm sure every woman out there knows the quote, well-behaved women seldom make history. A lot of people think that was said by Eleanor Roosevelt. That was actually quoted by Laurel Thatcher Ulrich.
Okay. Tell us more about this individual.
That's all I know. She's an author. What I found of her is she writes right now. She has a book out. She had a book out in 2007 called, Well-Behaved Women Seldom Make History. And I really want to look that up. I think that was in 07. But I really want to see that. I really want to read that, I mean.
Well-behaved women seldom make history.
Yes. I mean, I've seen bumper stickers like that. I've seen T-shirts. And it's like, oh, nice, nice. I would love that.
Well, for me, Rosa Parks came to mind.
Yes.
Because
yes.
She did not operate in a well-behaved fashion.
No, she did not. And we remember her.
And we remember her. That's right.
And who else do we remember? We remember Susan B. Anthony. We remember all those women who came before us and, blazed a trail and made it okay for us to do these things.
What you do.
Yeah.
That is, wow, I really like that. I really like that. Wow. We're going to take a slight break here and come right back with Valerie Beers. This is DC Poetry Project online call-in show, The Power of Poetics. Back with Valerie Beers. My name is Michael Ingram. The call-in number is 646-716-8754. Valerie is here to discuss and share with us poetry from her book, ... published by Thomas Hill Publishing, and it's available on Amazon.com. So, Valerie Beers, please continue with your work.
Okay. All right. I would like to read the... It's not a CD. It's not a total track. The poem ... from my book. This is the one that this is the magic page, I guess. This is called Details. When I say I want you, I want to sit close enough to touch you, rest my hand on your knee, touch your prickly hair, whisper in my ear, squeeze my shoulder, inhale your scent, soap, spice, lust, taste you, sing ha and desire on your mouth, see your detail, the scar on your nose, hand line of your watch, hollow of your throat, witness on your lips. To hear you whisper, talk of sex, music, wants, poetry, secrets. The end.
Wow. Talk about details.
Those are the details. Those are the details I see.
Extremely descriptive. Extremely descriptive.
Well, that's me remembering something.
Oh, it does. When you think about your influence, and all writers have influences, who influenced you to become a poet?
I can't really think of influences because I always thought poetry was what I wanted to do, but I really like, if we're going to talk about influences and people that I read a lot and I really like Erica Jong, I really like Dorothy Parker, Maya Angelou. They've all spoken to me, and I saw what they were doing. You know, they were writing poems, and I thought, oh, I can do that too. I like what they're saying. I like how they're saying it. So I wonder if I can do that. Yes, I can.
Erica Jong wrote The Fear of Flying.
Yes, she did. And I've talked to her on the phone, and she really wants people to know, at least it sounded like this to me, she started as a poet first. Before she did Fear of Flying.
Wow. Because the Fear of Flying was kind of like a feminist manifesto in a sense.
Yes. And that's, everyone loved that. Yes.
I read that book.
In fact, that would be a great book for this month.
Wow. Brings back a lot of memories to read that book. Wow.
Yeah, it does.
Please share another poem.
Another poem. All right, let's see. All right, this is a haiku, which is 575. This is about my daughter, who's 8, and it's called Tiny Life. So remember, it's a haiku, so 575, and it's called Tiny Life, and it's about my daughter. My life is tiny. Legos, music, writing, her. Where is my life now? The end.
One more time, please.
That is called Tiny Life. My life is tiny. Legos, music, writing, her. Where is my life now? And
talk
that
about
is
the development.
Definitely the development of that is, I was thinking about my life one day, and it's tiny. And you know, I was thinking about Legos. You know, she has 10 billion of them. I was thinking about music. I think I was listening to music. I was thinking about writing, and I was thinking about her. And then I was thinking, where is my life now? You know, what do? I think about Legos and this and that and the other thing. Where am I now?
Did you find
out?
That's
why I thought about that.
But did you find out when you asked the question, where am I now?
Where is my life now? Yes.
Yes.
I am a mom
out.
And I'm very good at it.
Oh, wow.
I don't mean to brag, but I am.
There's nothing wrong with bragging, because I believe if you don't toot your own horn, who else will? You know?
Yeah. I'm not a horn tooter, but for myself.
Relatively speaking, if you don't believe in who you are,
that's
how's
true.
Anybody else going to believe
true.
In you?
That's right.
Wow. I really like that.
Thank you.
Any questions from some of our listeners?
I really want to know who called in from 207. Hello? Who's out there?
There's someone chuckling. It must be someone you know.
Must be. They're shy. Well, whoever it is, hello?
Well, we're
if
glad
you don't have
you're
a
here.
Copy of my book, I'll get you one. I don't know who's out there, Michael. I don't know. Are you still there, Anastasia?
Yes, I'm still here.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm in front of you.
Well, there's people out there listening.
Do you find my poems, what's the word, accessible, understandable?
Yeah, this book call is very detailed, so it kind of, even if you didn't understand, you brought all the details together to help you understand.
Oh, good. So, okay.
And just like I said, you know, it was a vivid, and you could feel it, and you could smell it, you can, you know, visualize everything when you with your poems.
Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was your goal, Valerie. Am I correct? To make
yes,
it.
Yes, that was my goal.
And as the person stated who reviewed your book, they had to go back and read it again for additional insight, to go deeper, delve deeper into your words, because they are so
yes.
crisp.
Wow. I mean, I've
Continue.
Even done that myself. Remember the POV thing we were talking about? Some of these
yes,
poems,
point of view.
To me, you know, I can remember the different, I mean, aside from the poetry prompts, I can remember the POVs.
Wow.
I mean, for statistics, I remember, I mean, this was a poetry prompt from my college class, but again, you know, I remember that. I remember the room. I remember the teacher. I remember all that stuff.
Now, was it easy for you to decide upon the pieces that you chose to put in your collection of poetry, in your chapbook? Was that easy?
No, it was,
you got a
no, it was not easy. I had to pick, I
Talk
wanted
about
to
that
pick
process.
Things. Okay. I wanted to pick poems that lots of people would understand, because I know I have pieces. I know everybody has pieces that, you know, are only for them, and they're very personal. Well, I didn't want to put anything too personal in the book, and I didn't want to, you know, to alienate anybody or anyone walk away scratching and go, what's she talking about? What does that mean? So you're going to really, I hope the book is full of poems that are relatable. But no, it's not an easy process. I had to go through, you know, all my pieces and journals, and, you know, it says select poems by Valerie Veers. Well, that means I had to select them. So I would say that was the hardest part, Michael, really.
So how long did it take from selecting the poems to submitting to the publisher to the book actually being published? How long was that process?
At least 6 months. And the slowest part was me going, what should I put in the book? And the publisher was just saying, you know, it doesn't matter. Just put whatever you want in the book. Put what makes you happy. And it's like, all right. So I did.
Talk a bit about Thomas Hill Publishing in
Thomas
terms of their
Hill
philosophy.
Publishing. Thomas Hill Publishing is a what you would call a charity publisher, because partial sales of my books, like if you go to Amazon, you buy a copy of my book, let's say it's $3, a dollar of that, and I don't know if this is actually true, but a portion of that book sale will go to the charity the publisher has chosen for this year, which right now it's the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society. But that's who Thomas Hill Publishing is, and I think they're doing an anthology.
Mm-hmm. How did you find out about this particular company, publishing company?
You know, Thomas Hill Publishing is... it's actually a friend of mine, and tomorrow's his birthday.
Okay. Well, happy birthday, Thomas Hill.
Yep.
All right. Happy
Let me
birthday.
Give a shout-out to my friend Jamie Tinker. Tomorrow's his birthday, but he's at Thomas Hill Publishing, and he's a friend of mine. And his next thing is he's going to be a writer and a publisher. He's in the Navy right now. but he's going to be a writer. He's written a book already. He's a writer. He's a publisher. And he took a chance on my words and was like, let's do your book. All right. So that's how I know Thomas Hill Publishing. And he's branching out into, you know, other things, other publishing projects. I don't know what they are right now, but he's doing that. That's what I know right now.
Wow.
Don't you have a specific question for me, Michael?
Well, his name is not Thomas Hill.
No, no.
Okay.
Funny story, that's the street he used to live on. Thomas Hill.
Okay.
That's where the name came from. So, no, that's not his name.
All
it would be an,
well,
it would be a good name.
Yes,
yeah,
so
if
nice
anyone
thing,
wants to steal a name for their book, gee, I think Thomas Hill would be a good name.
That's a great name. It's a great name. So, Valerie, please continue with your work. I'm enjoying
right.
it. Please continue your work. Yes.
Well, this is called Statistics, and again, it's from a poetry prompt in a college class, and it's actually about a statistics math class I had to take for a degree I was working for, and I had a crush on the teacher's assistant, so this is about him.
All right.
Statistics. I need a miracle Tuesdays and Thursdays. Big problems, little hall. Am I in the wrong class? I didn't sign up for a foreign language. Chalk dust torture. I hear my neighbor's pen click, click, click. In mindless boredom, anxiety, frustration. I hope he does not go postal and make us get more statistics. True story. They're all true.
Well, let me
I
ask
think
this
only
question.
Poetry is nonfiction.
Wow. Do you sit and think through every word of every stanza, or do you just write freely and allow the words to flow?
You know, I'm a perfectionist, so I sit there and I write every word and I think about what I want to focus on, and that's all I write about. That's all I will tell you about. I was telling you about the class I was in, and that's it.
Yeah, and I feel like that's go with any class, you know, because I enjoy it. My statistics class, but I had some other classes where I sat there where I thought it was a foreign language and, you know, was I in the wrong class. So it kind of fit in the course.
And that's
you know,
what it felt like to me.
Well, sometimes life can seem like a foreign language.
Yes, it can. It certainly can.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to ask a question. I don't know if I came in a little late, but I wanted to know what's this, Poetry Pasta?
Yeah.
Is that blog or?
It's a blog. Well, it's an online website. And if you send me a poem, I will read through it, and I'm probably going to publish it. Poetry Pasta is a very encouraging place to show off and promote new poet, really.
Okay. Also, how did you come up with the name Poetry Pasta?
The name came up with actually my partner in poetry, Frank Esposito, came up with that name because he was thinking, you know, pasta is nourishing, but it's in little bites, so you're not gonna. You won't choke on it. You won't have to take big bites of this. It's just little bites of poetry. Poetry Pasta.
Oh, okay.
How long has the blog site been in existence?
Oh, since 2010. And it really just started out as a site for myself for writing. And I branched out. I'm like, I got to get some more people involved in this. Can't be just me. So I had Frank Esposito from Canada help me with this. And between him and everything else, we've just been showing off people and showing off poems.
Well, it must be a very popular blog site because you've got people writing in from India. So that's beautiful.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Maybe I need to submit one of my poems.
Please do. I would love it. I would love it if you did.
We're going to take another short break, one of our little commercial breaks here, music breaks, and we're going to come back with Valerie Beers. Please purchase her book Details on Amazon.com. That's .. details... My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. This is The Power of Poetics. We are here with Valerie Beers. She's sharing from her book Details. Valerie, please continue.
All right. I would like to read one that's not in Details, but this is one I wrote. It's called, this is from Literature Today. This is one of the anthologies I was honored to be a part of. And this is very apropos for this time of the year because everything's melting and warm. This is called Flood, because we have lots of snow. All right, Flood. Black wetness slowly creeps places it should not be. The waves gently lapping are deceiving as they damage. The end.
You got to read that one again.
Please. I was settling in. So I could have these words to share. So please read it again. Thank you.
Sure. Flood. Black wetness slowly creeps places it should not be. The waves, gently lapping, are deceiving as they damage.
So the waves were gently laughing?
Laughing. Yeah, you hear them. You know how it sounds when water, when waves are lapping?
Mm-hmm.
But they're laughing as they're causing damage.
They're laughing because you're listening to them. They sound so peaceful and, oh, the waves. You know, they make whole CDs of that kind of stuff. But the water is doing damage while you're sort of lulled by the sound.
Oh. While the water is kind of... Yeah.
That's extremely profound.
And, you know, we're coming up on... This might happen. This might happen in the next month or so. Flood. Flooding.
Yeah, from after all the rain.
That really, wow. Please, share another.
Another one, okay. Let's see. Well, I want to read another haiku out of my book, Details. This is called Her, about my daughter, and I got as a present for Christmas, a very nice, it's made of wood and metal chain, and this haiku is written on pieces of wood, so it's very decorative, but this is called Her. She's my, it's a haiku, so it's 575. She's my whole world, a small internet junkie. She's just set. The end.
One more time. I'm still thinking about the last one.
This is called her. She's my whole world, a small internet junkie. She's just 7.
And she's an internet junkie.
Oh,
at
yes.
At the age of 7.
Oh, yes. This was written, she was 7, so last year. You know, she loves YouTube and Minecraft, all that kind of stuff that kids love. And like, wow, when I was your age, I didn't have any of this stuff.
No, I can understand. Wow. Do you have another piece for us? Or if a person on our line would like to share, to give Valerie a break, would someone like to share?
No, I didn't know this was open mic. I just thought it was Valerie's time.
Well, it is Valerie's time, but to give Valerie a moment to collect her breath, if you have something you'd
I'd
like to
share,
please
do. I'd be very interested if someone wanted to share something. But I have another poem.
Okay, great. Continue, Valerie.
This is very apropos for Women's History Month, and you were asking about my style. This is kind of we were talking about feelings. This is kind of an angry poem, but I don't think you're really going to hear the anger in it, maybe. This is called How to Be a Real Woman. Know how to cook and use your rook and let me look at other women. Grow your hair, get a perfect pair, and never stare at me. Grow up, cheer up, do sit-ups, stand up for me. Shut up, Valerie. Ride a bike, know what I like, and never try to psych me out. Driving around, don't make a sound as I comment on every woman around. You need a round butt, get your body cut, and on command, act like a slut. Am I being heard? I hardly say a word. Make sure the coffee's stirred. Real women don't cry. Real women aren't shy, and they don't ask why. Get more educated. And when we're socially situated, don't act like we're together. Wear your clothes tight. Learn to drive right. And why do you have to write all the time? The end.
Wow, I really like that one. Now, what was the title of that one?
What's that? What'd you say?
What was the title of that?
That is, the title is called How to Be a Real Woman.
Wow.
And those were actual things somebody said to me.
Yeah, it sounds like that, you know what I mean? It's kind of like the insults of somebody, but it's kind of to cater to a lot of women who probably heard those words, you know, get a great set of pairs and a round butt, and you know what I mean? And you write too much, and then not to be shy, and, you know, you almost have to be perfect. It almost, that's why I get out of it, you know, it could fit a lot of female, and sometimes, you know, where your self-esteem is being beaten down, and you're fighting to kind of keep yourself.
Absolutely, yes. Now, I want to talk about, you know, these are things that were expected, but, you know, I was chafing against them, but there's expectations anyway. You know, life
yes.
has expectations and just,
even if they're not said, even if it's not said, like, you know, yeah, I could stare at other women, you know, and, you
right.
know, and for you to say anything. You might not say it, but that's what they mean. So I really like that one. Yeah, that was really, really, you know.
Thank you, Anastasia. Thank you.
Yeah. It seemed like a lot of women could in that one.
Yes. And I didn't mean
well,
to alienate you, Michael.
No, you didn't.
Thank you.
You didn't.
That's the trouble with Women's History Month. It's like, if there was a Men's History Month, I think we'd all be screaming.
You shared your truth.
Yeah, you shared your truth.
And that's one of the powerful things about poetry. It provides a person an opportunity to share his or her truth through self-expression. So, I mean, I can't take that away from you. I can't be mad at you because you said those things, you know, because that's your truth.
And when we were talking about feelings, and I was saying don't shy away from them, you know, don't shy away from anger or, you know, fear or the strong emotions. And I almost didn't read that, but I thought, well, I'm not going to, don't censor yourself.
And that's something that can touch a lot of people and help some other women get past what they're going through, you know, speak up and write their truth.
Yes, absolutely. I've often thought a creative writing group with abused women would be great.
Just write
and doesn't have to, I don't have to look at it. Nobody has to look at it. You just write what you want to write, and you keep it, you know, personal and private. No one's going to read this, and I think that would really be helpful.
Yeah, kind of be like a no judgment, you know, free zone, just write to therapeutic, you know, just get it all out.
Yes.
Yeah, because even if you sit there and write, and that would be great.
Valerie, as an honorary member of the D.C. Poetry Project, would you be willing to share that piece of poetry with the group? I'd like to include it on next week's program because, again, we're still discussing Women's History Month and sharing about issues that are important to women. So I'd like to publish that on our site.
Of course, Michael. I would send it. I would love to.
Great. Great, and hopefully if you have an opportunity next week to join us or if we have someone to read it next week, I just think that it needs to be heard again. And people men need to be reminded of what we do in terms of shaming people to be something other than what they are, and that's themselves.
Yes.
Extremely powerful, extremely powerful. I think we may have time for one more, so please favor us. Valerie Beers.
Okay, this is my last poem, and this is about my best friend, who I don't know if he's listening tonight or not, but this is called, this is about a black and white photo she took of me years ago. This is called Subject to Change. You pictured my sadness in your kitchen in black and white, faded, fearful face. Even though the white balance is off, you think I'm glowing.
One more time,
mm-hmm.
please.
Again. I feel like I should say over or something. But that's the end.
Yes. Oh, that's the end. One more time, please. Sorry.
Okay.
I like that.
The person that this is for is actually the person I dedicated the book to. She's my best friend, Nukner Ricker. Subject to Change. I'm the subject of the black and white photo she took. But you pictured my sadness in your kitchen in black and white, faded, fearful face. Even though the white balance is off, you think I'm glowing.
That's beautiful. Well, everyone would like to thank Valerie Beers for being with us tonight. She's an incredible poet and author. She favored us with her poetry throughout the evening. Her book is ... available on Amazon.com. So, Valerie, thank you so much for being with us. Have a
thank
great
you,
evening,
Michael.
Everybody.
Thank you.
And let
thank
poetry
you for
ring.
This opportunity. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks. Bye-bye.